How would you like to be Tom Brady? Brady finally does something cool. Finally does something to humanize him. Finally. And everybody still thinks he cheats. Let me tell you something. This guy could crack open a beer, pour it into a glass, slam it right there for everybody to see, and there is still a large percentage of you who would say that he was cheating. Even if you saw him dump that beer out of a can into a glass. All right, joining us right now to break that down and other important things, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is the host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network simulcast. Jason Lockenfora is my guest. JLC, good morning. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well after that introduction. How could I not be?
My man. So, Jason, you've been known to slam a beer or two in your day.
Yes, sir.
You would know as well as anybody, especially as dialed in as you are to the NFL. Do you think this guy crushed that beer, or are you going to call bull on it and say that it was apple juice or something else?
I'm giving Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you know, 40 is old in football years, but, you know, 40 in beer slamming years is I wouldn't call it over the hill. I mean, I know there's a conspiracy theory for everything these days, and people, you know, love to hate Tom Brady, but I think you just got to give the man his due. Clearly, he applied himself in multiple ways at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor.
Exactly right. I mean, doesn't it go to say how little people trust this guy or how quick people want to hate on this guy to not even give him credit for that? To turn that thing inside out the way he did? All right, so you and I are on the same page there. I think the guy did it. Jason Lockenfora, my guest. Let's talk about last night. You tweeted last night that people around the league were surprised by how slowly things were yesterday during the first few hours of the legal tampering period, but you'd be shocked if it hadn't totally changed within the next 24 hours, and that's exactly what happened. So what did change?
Well, just a little more time. You know, people starting to ruminate on things for sort of the close of business Monday, and then a few things ramping up late at night with some of the top of the market guys, where you've kind of gone through the motions and the player has been given some things to mull, and he goes back to the agent and says, hey man, if that's what you know you think's on the table, let's just go ahead and do a verbal with that. You know, I'd like to do that. Let's get that security. I'd like to be able to tell my wife you know, tomorrow morning where we're going rather than, you know, wait till Wednesday if we really don't think the market's going to change much by the time it, quote-unquote, officially opens on Wednesday. So I think a lot of people thought Monday afternoon might be a little more gangbusters than it was, but we're making up for it today, Jim, and by 4 p.m. our time, 1 p.m. your time tomorrow afternoon, I dare say there's not going to be a heck of a lot of intrigue still out there. I mean, there'll obviously still be guys on the market, but for a free agent class this week, with so few really dynamic names attached to it, there's going to be slim pickings.
Jason Lockenfora joins us. All right, you made the point that once Jacksonville agreed to a deal with Blake Bortles, there were not that many landing spots that made sense for Drew Brees. Lay that out for me, and what do you make of the deal that he ultimately did agree to?
You know, I won't call it necessarily team-friendly. It's still $50 million over 2 years for, you know, a quarterback approaching age 40. But, it, you know, a lot of people thought he might hold out for $60 million for two, $30 a year. And I think, ideally, that's probably where they would have been. But he gets to the tampering period or whatever they call it on Monday, and he's free to talk to other teams. And, like, I mean, could you go to Arizona? I guess. Steve Wilks is a rookie head coach. You know, last year with Larry Fitzgerald, the team kind of in transition. You know, a lot of people believe they'll end up cutting Honey Badger. You know, I don't know. Does that make sense for Drew Brees at age 40? Like, okay, the Jets lose out on Cousins. I mean, do you want to go to the Jets? I mean, are they going to win a Super Bowl in the next 18 months? And, you know, does that really make sense with where they are as a franchise right now? You know, Denver already did their thing with Keenum. It looks like Minnesota's going to get Cousins. But to me, Minnesota was really the only spot where maybe Brees would make sense, but they'd rather do something with Cousins, you know, who's younger and has a little more upside, and no one really thought Brees was leaving New Orleans anyway. So, you know, had that thing played out to Wednesday night or Thursday, and again, no one thought it was going to, but if it did, you know, he may have been looking at Buffalo or Arizona, and again, for where those teams are, it doesn't make sense. Both those teams are going to be drafting quarterbacks in the first round.
Jason LaCanfora joins us to break it all down. All right, so what about Kirk Cousins? He's got a visit set up with the Vikings tomorrow. At this point, how would you handicap the Kirk Cousins stakes? I mean, are we pretty much down to a one-horse race?
Yeah, maybe one in a, one thoroughbred, and then, I don't know, what you're the horse guy. What are, like, the little miniature horses?
A goat. One thoroughbred and one goat.
Yeah, and I would you can figure out which one of those the Jets would be. I won't say that they're completely exterminated because money often talks and money sometimes screams. And, you know, could they do something completely over the top dramatic that causes Kirk Cousins to leave Minnesota on Thursday without a press conference and without, signing a new contract? It's unlikely, but we've seen a coach bail on a team when they thought, you know, they had a deal, and we've seen a lot of crazy things happen in this league. Over the years, we've seen contracts get ripped up. We've seen the league overturn contracts, and that's not going to happen in this case, I don't believe. But, you know, until it's completely signed, sealed, and delivered, I would still leave out a sliver of hope for the Jets. But, Minnesota's the better team. Minnesota's going to put substantial money on the table, and the Jets would have to get really creative to make Cousins have second thoughts.
Jason, go back to Drew Brees for a minute. You made the point that Minnesota looks like they've made their choice, that they'd rather go with a younger Kirk Cousins than Drew Brees, who's 39. Could you make any argument that Minnesota should take that same $30 million and offer it to Drew Brees? And if it was $30 million and not the $25 or so that Brees is going to get in New Orleans, do you think that Brees would leave for 2 years in Minnesota and more money if, in fact, it was offered?
Yeah, it's an interesting hypothetical. I mean, similar teams, both young, both have been built through the draft. It would have been interesting because Breeze, you know, most of the time has kind of put the squeeze to them and gotten every penny he could get. I'm not sure he would leave under those circumstances, given what he means to that community and what that community means to him. If we're only talking a million or 2 million on a $50 million contract, if somebody blew him out of the water, it's a different scenario. But again, I don't know that team exist the way this, you know, when you just start going through the teams and as they're presently constructed and you look at their quarterback rooms and the money devoted to quarterbacks and who's drafting a quarterback, I just don't think it would have been an overly robust market for Drew Brees. And part of that, again, is that people never thought he'd hit the market anyway because the Saints didn't want to deal with that $18 million rollover of salary cap money that even if they brought Brees back on Thursday, would have still counted against their cap and made it prohibitive to do anything else in free agency.
All right, so what about Denver? They end up with Case Keenum. How do you like that fit of Keenum in Denver?
You know, it makes sense. Denver all along was looking at Keenum and Tyrod Taylor as the guys that they didn't get Cousins, and I reported weeks ago they kind of knew internally they weren't really going to get Cousins. They weren't going to be able to compete with the Vikings roster. They weren't going to be able to compete with the Jets' cap and cash availability. So they were already moving on to plans B and C at the combine. And those are two athletic quarterbacks, guys who can boot, guys who can waggle, do things outside the pocket, guys who Gary Kubiak, who remains Elway's right-hand man, was high on. And let's face it, that's the offense they really want to run. So I thought they'd end up with one of those two guys. They weren't willing to trade as much as the Browns were for Tyrod Taylor, understandably so. The Broncos don't have the plethora of picks that the Browns do, and they need to hold on to the young, you know, the young potential assets that they have. So Keenum, if it turns out to be, you know, $18 million a year, and until you really read the contract and see the fine print, it's impossible to say exactly where the real money is and the funny money is in some of these numbers that get thrown around. But I get it. I mean, I get it. Look, if I was Minnesota, I would have just transitioned him. I would have transitioned Keenum and done that for a year. I understand why they're doing what they're doing with Cousins. But, yeah, the franchise tag is $21 million. This guy played at a very high level last year, and you're getting him, you know, $3 or $4 million a year under the franchise tag. It's probably really only a one-year commitment when you suss it all out. I like it for Denver. I don't think it's going to transform their team. I don't think it's going to stop them from drafting a quarterback in the next couple years, and I don't think it's going to stop them from being a rebuilding team, which is where I think they're headed. But I'd rather do that for Keenum than do, you know, $19 million for 1 year of Mike Glennon or $36 million for 2 years of Brock Osweiler.
You know, it's funny you say that because John Elway would tell you, we don't rebuild. In fact, he said just that to ESPN the other day. We do not rebuild. I'm not going to rebuild. Ultimately, is he going to have to rebuild?
Well, I mean, if a year from now, guys like Chris Harris and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders join Aqib Talib on the we traded him for a fifth round pick list, then you're rebuilding. And if you don't draft the way you did 5 or 6 years ago when Brian Sanders was running the draft, but you draft more the way you have the last 3 or 4 years, then you're not going to get better real quick. You're going to have to tear some things down to eventually, find another team that's ready to compete for the playoffs and ultimately a Super Bowl on a regular basis. To me, the Broncos and the Giants are two teams that might be fooling themselves a little bit in terms of where they really are as a organization at the macro level. But we'll see. Maybe they are able to retool on the fly.
We have a couple of more moments with Jason Lockenfora. Now, JLC, what do you make of the deal that Sammy Watkins has reportedly agreed to at Kansas City? That's another nice weapon, obviously, for Patrick Mahomes. But do you think that Watkins is ever going to live up to all that hype that he had when Buffalo drafted him where they did?
No, I think this is a case of if Sammy Watkins was drafted 15 or 20 spots lower, he gets considerably less of the benefit of the doubt, and he's people would look more at his, not his college film, or not film when he flashes from time to time, but watch him on a regular basis and see how limited he's been by injury and how he hasn't performed like a number one. And I think that they'd probably be more lukewarm on him. But the fact that there's so few skill guys available on this market, and where he was drafted where he was drafted, and a team just traded a 2 for him, 7 months ago, and that tends to get you inflated. Now, again, Jim, I'll caution, let's wait till we see the real numbers on this contract. I mean, let's see what it really – is it really a one-year $16 million flyer, which, again, is too rich for my blood by far for him? But, let's see what the real commitment is that the Chiefs have actually made. I can understand them thinking with all the weapons they have around them that maybe this guy will help them be transcendent there. But I'm a Sammy Watkins skeptic.
I got to get your thoughts before you go, Jason, about the Rams. I mean, what an amazing offseason they've had. You and I have spoken about Sean McVay a number of times over the past few months, going back to training camp. But what do you make of the moves they've made, bringing in Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib in particular? And what's that say about the confidence that that organization has in McVay to run that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, from a fiscal standpoint, you're talking about no-brainers here. I mean, to get those guys at that price, you can understand why they would do it and all that. But the reality is this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. And it's not a case of fantasy football. There's real personalities. There's guys who are – sorry, my dog is
– Chelsea, what kind of dog you have?
A repair person got here. Copper! Oh, my goodness. I was trying to let him –
I love
here,
this
buddy.
Dude.
We got a full-blown episode here, Joe.
Wait, what kind of dog
Good
is
thing
that?
This one's not on camera.
What kind of dog is this?
I'm dog wrestling. Look, these are real guys with real personalities. And
that's
how
a real
is
dog.
This going to play out in the locker room? Who's going to be the lead dog? How do they handle all that stuff? I'll frankly be I'll be watching closely, and I'll be incredibly intrigued to see how this plays out because, these are guys who are playing for contracts, who have difficult personalities, and there's not that many people in that defensive backs room, so we'll see how it goes.
This guy is a pro, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Of course, he appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS and host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, my man Jason Lockenfora. Jason, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Hey, my pleasure. Sorry about the dog rampage.
Not at all, man.
There.
Loved it. Best part of my morning so far. JLC.